You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host Harry Simeon and I'm here to react to Arsenal's 0-0 draw at Elland Road against Leeds United. A game from which Arsenal took a point, but it's a game that feels, judging by the performance, I guess, and based on the performance, I should say, like a bit of a defeat. I've got to be honest, I'm really, really disappointed. And I know that Leeds have, in patches, been really excellent this season. And going to Elland Road isn't really an easy thing to do. And it's not somewhere that you've got any sort of God-given right to go and win. But it was another, I thought, largely toothless performance from Arsenal. And it's becoming a bit of a concern now. It really, really is. I mean, how long are we going to kind of watch this Arsenal team struggle to create opportunities, struggle to break people down, struggle to really impose ourselves on games? It is a worry. It is a concern. We're going to be discussing all of the bits and pieces. We're going to be touching on various players, various incidents from the game. And I'd love to hear from you guys as well in the live chat. Just a quick reminder that this podcast is brought to you by 90 Min. Head over to 90min.com for all your football news. Lots of featured articles as well. Some wonderful content from the guys over there. And we thank them for their wonderful partnership. Right. Before we get into it, let's have a look at some of the match facts, some of the stats from the game between Leeds United and Arsenal this afternoon. Let's just share the screen with you guys using the stats from the official Premier League website. For those of you watching us on YouTube, if you're listening via the audio, don't worry, we're going to take you through everything right here. So let's begin with the possession stats. Of course, Arsenal just 33.7% of the possession, just two shots on target, nine in total compared to Leeds United's 25. You know, if anybody was going to win that game, it was going to be Leeds United. If anybody had the bit between their teeth, if anybody deserved it, if anybody deserved all 3 points, it was Leeds United and not Arsenal. And that's what makes it really, really disappointing, I think. Let's start by discussing Mikel Arteta's initial team selection, and then we'll get your thoughts in the comments as well. Feel free to jump in to the chat with anything that you want to add following today's game, and we'll get through as many of your comments as we possibly can. Let's begin by discussing the initial team selection. As I've said, it kicked off with Bern Leno in goal. Hector Bellerin, Rob Holding, Gabriel and Kieran Tierney were the back four. Now, lots of you were asking ahead of the game why David Luiz had been left out. Some people were speculating that it had something to do with the incident that took place between him and Danny Ceballos in the week. That was not the case whatsoever. That had absolutely nothing to do with it. David Luiz was not in the side today because David Luiz's missus gave birth just yesterday. David Luiz becoming a father, and that is why David Luiz was not involved. So for those of you who were speculating about that ahead of the game, driving a little bit of an agenda with regards to what might have gone on there, well, actually nothing has gone on there. The incident between Danny Ceballos and David Luiz has been dealt with as far as we know. There's no ongoing thing there. Mikel Arteta addressed that in the press conference. It didn't look as though, you know, Danny Ceballos had been particularly affected by the incident. So I'm sure David Luiz hasn't either. Lots of you are saying that I need to show the same energy that I did towards Unai Emery to Mikel Arteta now. And we'll probably look, I'm not going to sit here and defend him when things aren't working and things simply aren't working, but we'll address that in a bit. Let's go back to the team selection. As I said, it was Leno in goal. It was Bellerin. It was Tierney. It was Gabriel and it was Rob Holding. As I've already mentioned, David Luiz not in the squad today, not involved because his missus gave birth yesterday to a little girl. So congratulations to him and his family. In the middle of the park, it was Dani Ceballos and Granit Xhaka. Of course, Mohamed Elneny and Thomas Partey were both unavailable. Mohamed Elneny having contracted coronavirus and Thomas Partey having failed to recover from that thigh injury he picked up in the game against Aston Villa. Up front, we got what we wanted. We got Joe Willock playing in the hole. We got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang through the middle. We got Nicolas Pepe starting on the right, and we had Willian starting from the left. But it didn't really work, did it? I mean, you know, Mikel Arteta said we had some moments, and we did have a couple, but we always seem to have a couple. But there was no sustained periods of pressure from Arsenal. There was no dominance from Arsenal whatsoever. And that's what makes this so, so disappointing, because you get to a point where, as fans, you sit there and you say, I want my manager. I want Mikel Arteta to make this change. I want Mikel Arteta to make that change. And he made the change, and still there was no real benefit from those changes. And so you start to wonder, don't you, if those changes or if those initial decisions that he was making were actually the issue in the first place, or if it's the players. Are the players pulling their weight? Are they applying themselves as well as they could be? That's a massive part of it as well. And I'm not saying that the manager is exempt from all criticism or doesn't deserve any of the criticism that's going to come his way in the next few days, because ultimately, as the manager, Mikel Arteta is responsible for the team, is responsible for the results. And so the spotlight is going to be on him when Arsenal don't perform. And it's as simple as that. Let's discuss Nicolas Pepe, who massively, massively let Arsenal down. He really, really did. Not only did he not perform, I didn't think, did he not pull his weight on the pitch, as has been the case so often since Nicolas Pepe has arrived at the football club, but he made a silly, silly mistake. It was a silly error of judgment. He got sucked into Alioski's games, sucked in to exactly what the Leeds man wanted, and that was to get him. That was Alioski playing games with Nicolas Pepe for a while, trying to wind him up, and Nicolas Pepe fell into the trap. And you just simply can't do that at this level. To think that you can go and butt somebody the way he did, and I know it's not something that is going to put you on the floor the way Alioski did, but Alioski's actions were to highlight it, were to get the spotlight on it, and he was successful. He'd been winding Nicolas Pepe up, but there is no excuse for a footballer at this level to fall for that. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing from Nicolas Pepe. Mikel Arteta spoke about it after the game. He let the team down. That's exactly what Nicolas Pepe did today. He let this team down. It was a hard enough task going to Elland Road against a really energetic, fit, organised Marcelo Bielsa side. But when you've got to play the majority of the second half with 10 men because of a moment of absolute madness, how can you not be frustrated with the player? You know, sometimes sending offs happen when a player slides in, misjudges a challenge, but there was a genuine attempt to win the ball. There was a genuine attempt to add value, to prevent a breakaway, to prevent an attack. In those instances, you have sympathy for the players. But in this instance, you can't have any sympathy for Nicolas Pepe. You really can't, because it's pure and utter stupidity on his part. And it has cost us, I think. Now, I'm not saying that we would have definitely 100% won the game without Nicolas Pepe. But you've made your players now have to adapt. The game plan goes out the window. You have to change things. You have to put in that extra work rate at a time where loads of them are already running on empty. And they've now got to take up the responsibility of an additional player because Nicolas Pepe has been completely irresponsible. And there are fans out there who get on Nicolas Pepe's back. And sometimes I felt the criticism of Nicolas Pepe has been a little bit harsh. But when he acts like that, when he does stupid, silly things like that, you simply cannot defend the guy. It's embarrassing. He's let everybody down, and most importantly for him, he's let himself down. Nicolas Pepe has let himself down because he's been banging on about playing more football. He's been banging on about the fact that he tries his best in training, that he does this, that he does that, and that he warrants a place in the side. But if you're going to cost us the opportunity to pick up points out of pure stupidity, you don't deserve to be in the team, mate. And he's now going to be missing for 3 games at a time where we are struggling with injuries. We've got players out, players picking up problems left, right and centre. Willian's picked up an injury today. Bukayo Saka's picked up an injury today. And now we're going to be without Nicolas Pepe for the next 3 games. It's frustrating. Really, really frustrating. And there is no defence for it. I'm going to come on to dissect Arsenal's performance in a little bit more detail because I don't feel like that was the only reason we didn't win the game today. There were a number of reasons, but I was really annoyed with Nicolas Pepe, frustrated with Nicolas Pepe, angry with Nicolas Pepe because it was a needless sending off. And I can't get behind needless sendings off. I can't excuse needless sendings off. Like I said, you make a tackle because you're trying to prevent a goal. You're the last man, etc. We've all seen that happen loads of times. If that's the case, you accept it. You live with it. You move on. But what I can't accept is I can't accept a player making us go down to 10 men out of pure and utter stupidity. And it's as simple as that. Let's discuss the system, the formation, the way Mikel Arteta set his team out today, because it was different to what we've been seeing of late. Apologies to those of you watching on YouTube. The green screen's gone a little bit funny. I need to move the light, but it means me getting up out of my seat, and I don't want to do that mid-podcast. So apologies if you're getting a little bit of an effect in the corners of the screen. But let's talk about the system. And lots of us have been crying out for it. You know, we want to see a back four. We want to see that additional midfielder have a little bit of license to get up in and around the forwards and provide that extra bit of support to whether it's Aubameyang, Willian and Pepe in this case. And Joe Willock was picked. Joe Willock, who's performed in the Europa League but hasn't had a look in the Premier League, to be quite frank. And I think that's been a shame. I think that's been a shame because, you know, he has earned it based on what he's done in the Europa League. But I've always had doubts around whether Joe Willock is actually good enough. And I think today we saw those doubts come to fruition because he didn't perform. I didn't think anyway. I thought he was energetic. I thought he got into the right areas at times. But he wasn't anywhere near the top of his game, Joe Willock. And I still have doubts about whether he is somebody who can actually make that step up into first team football regularly, is ready, is good enough to play in the Arsenal starting 11 week in, week out. I still don't think he is. I still don't know that he is. And therefore, you can understand, I guess, why Mikel has been reluctant at times to just throw Joe Willock into the side, despite what the fans have been saying and despite the performances that he has turned in the cup competitions, in the Europa League, most notably. You know, it's not being good enough. Bear with me 1 second while I just tighten this screw and hopefully can improve the picture for you. Let me know what you guys are thinking in the comments section about today's performance. Get your questions in. We're going to come to all of those before we wrap up tonight's stream. There we are. That should do it. Let's get back to it. Yeah, going back to Joe Willock. Don't think he's been good enough on the day. But again, I'm not pointing the fingers at one individual because I thought the whole team weren't good enough. But Joe Willock, for me, he gets into those positions. He's got the energy. He's got the enthusiasm. But does he have the technical ability? Does he have the footballing brain? Maybe not. Tell you who doesn't have a footballing brain based on today, I should say, Nicolas Pepe. But we've discussed that. Let's move on. As you can see, I'm quite upset tonight. I am, because I feel like Arsenal missed an opportunity here to show that actually they do want to play for Mikel Arteta, that they do believe in what he's doing, and, you know, to kind of put the criticism that's come of late to one side for now and see, you know, the fans get back on side, because the fans are starting to lose it. A lot of Arsenal fans are starting to lose it with Mikel Arteta and his methods and some of the players that he insists on playing week in, week out. I thought that in the first half, Leeds had a lot of joy in the wide areas in particular. Well, they had joy in the wide areas throughout, actually. But it was a clear tactic of Leeds United's to use in particular Harrison on the left-hand side to get to that byline. He was causing a bit of an overload with Alioski out there. They were getting into those wide areas and they were pulling balls back to the edge of the box. And you saw when Leeds were doing that, maybe why Mikel Arteta hasn't necessarily wanted to play this system throughout the season. Because what constantly happened was you would see the defence obviously have to go all the way back to defend the cross. And then you'd have to see Xhaka and Ceballos get back and, you know, close those spaces on the edge of the penalty area, which is obviously their duty as midfielders. But the fact that we were getting caught high up the pitch and that we didn't have the athleticism necessarily of Thomas Partey or of Mohamed Elneny, I think you saw Arsenal look a little bit sluggish in that department. And Leeds were, you know, Leeds identified that. Leeds would have looked at that before the game. Knowing Marcelo Bielsa, he would have had a plan. He would have sussed out Arsenal's weaknesses by having Xhaka and Sabas in that midfield. The athleticism is maybe lacking a little bit. And they took advantage of that and they created countless opportunities. They had 24 attempts at goal. How they didn't score, I don't know. They hit the woodwork three times at least. Meanwhile, we forced one save from Ilan Meslier in the second half. One save from that Bukayo Saka chance. And when I think about the game as a whole, you know, Mikel Arteta came out and faced the media immediately after the full-time whistle and started talking about the fact that we created moments and we had chances of our own. We didn't have anywhere near as many opportunities as Leeds United. There was only one team deserving of winning that game today, and it was not Arsenal Football Club. So, Mikel, I don't know if you're saying it because, you know, you're trying to just deflect. I don't know if you're saying it because you genuinely believe it. I hope you don't genuinely believe it, because if you do, there's a little bit of delusion creeping in on your part, because Arsenal were simply not creative enough yet again. And this debate comes up time and time again, and I know people are sick of it, but it will keep raging on for as long as Arsenal struggle to create chances. Why on earth is Mesut Ozil sitting at home on Twitter having exchanges and arguments with people like Piers Morgan on social media when he could be at the very least on the bench to call upon in situations like today where Arsenal cannot break a team down? Now, I know the red card played a part. I know it played a part in the system, and maybe the red card prevented Mikel Arteta throwing a little bit more at the game towards the end in terms of trying to win. I know the remit changed, the game plan changed to one of which we were looking to contain Leeds because we were down to 10 men. But just to have that option, and look, there's a few of you in the comments saying Ozil was not the answer, he is the problem. Ozil, 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 ha, stop it, man, says Dennis. You explain to me who in this Arsenal side is a better creator than Mesut Ozil, and I will not mention the guy's name ever again. But if you're telling me that players like Joe Willock, like Reece Nelson, who came on and was a disaster as well, couldn't take a corner to save his life, if you can tell me who in that Arsenal side is more creative than Mesut Ozil, I will never mention the guy's name again. But for as long as he's an Arsenal player, for as long as he's under contract, and for as long as we are playing his wages, I will not accept that he is being left out of the team for football reasons. So if Arsenal and Mikel Arteta and everybody else want us to stop going on about Mesut Ozil, then come out and tell us what is actually going on with Mesut Ozil. Because we all used to sit here and slag off Arsene Wenger and say he doesn't tell us the truth. He's protecting the club. Arsene Wenger is taking all the shit, all the flack, and we don't get the truth. And it's his fault. It's going to be his downfall. Well, it's going to be Mikel Arteta's downfall as well if he does not start being honest with the fans. I know he wants to keep things internal. But there are certain situations that you need to explain to the stakeholders. And as fans of this massive football club, we are stakeholders. We pay our money. We deserve to know what has actually gone down there. It's as simple as that. Is he the answer to all our problems? No. That's never been my point. The point is that he's not any worse than some of the shit that is being put out on the pitch every single week. And so, you know, look, Ameya in the comments says Ozil might be the mole. If Ozil's the mole, Mikel, come out and say it, mate. Come out and say it, and we'll stop talking about it. If he did come out and say that Mesut Ozil was the mole, all the fans would back Mikel Arteta in his stance on this. But he doesn't say anything. Yet his team turns up week in, week out, week in, week out, and cannot create a bloody goal-scoring opportunity to save their lives. We come away from every game saying, oh, we had one or two chances today. And if we took them, you know, maybe the result would have been different. One or two is not enough at the top level. I just finished watching the Liverpool game. How many opportunities did Liverpool create tonight? Tons of them. Against Leicester, who have been defensively really, really good this season. Something's not right. In fact, there's a lot of things not right at the moment. Aubameyang through the middle. It was non-existent. Lots of us called for it, including me. That was out of desperation because what we've been doing previously with him from the left, Laka through the middle, well, that's not been working either. So understandably, people frustrated. And people wanted to see him move back through the middle. And Mikel Arteta said it worked at certain points. No, it didn't. It didn't work at any point. Because I don't remember Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang having an opportunity where I thought, yeah, he should have scored that. Therefore, it didn't work. Simple as that. Let's have a look at some of Mikel's comments from the press conference. He says, yes, we have to take the point considering the circumstances. And then he praised the effort of the players. When asked about Nicolas Pepe's red card, he said, it's very clear. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Mikel clearly not happy with what Pepe did today. Saka's injured. He was in pain. Mikel says, we're going to have to now assess that with the medical staff to see how bad it is. But it looked like a pretty bad challenge and he was in pain. So we took him out straight away. As I've already touched on, he speaks about Aubameyang playing through the middle and how it worked in some moments. I didn't think it worked at all. On whether Willian's substitution was tactical, of course Willian went off at half time, replaced by Reece Nelson. I didn't think anyone could come on and be worse than Willian, but Reece Nelson, well done, you managed it. Terrible performance from Reece Nelson. Did nothing, offered nothing. Apparently, Willian was feeling something muscular and had to come off. Mikel Arteta was asked whether Pepe had apologised to him and the team. And he said, I'm telling you what I think happened, but obviously inside I cannot share with you guys, but it's the way I see it. I don't think he really answered that question. He was asked on what annoyed him most tonight. He said, I'm cross because I want to win. And when I don't win, I get upset. We had it really difficult for different reasons because we lost two players on international duty and we had a player that came who wasn't in the condition to start. We lost two players to injury today and one through suspension and we have an incredible amount of games coming up. So the fact we need to score more goals obviously is a concern. But I'm also really happy because I know how much this team has evolved in a lot of things. The first one is our resilience, ambition and belief. We showed while playing with 10 men. And this is growing well. It's a positive thing, but there are things that we need to get better at. I agree that the resilience was there, having gone down to 10 men. But you need more than just resilience to qualify for the Champions League. You need quality. And the quality just isn't there at the moment. Just really isn't there. Whenever we got the ball, in defence after we went down to 10 men. It felt like we were playing aimless long balls up towards Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, that he was never going to win, and the ball was just coming straight back. On the 81st minute, we created a counter-attacking opportunity. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang cut inside, had a shot that did strike the arm of the Leeds defender. And I'm not going to sit here and make a big song and dance and say that we definitely 100% should have had a penalty, because I hate seeing penalties given for that type of thing. But when you look around the Premier League this season and you look at some of the penalties that have been given, I certainly think there's a case there. And Arsenal have a case to argue. Almost 8 hours now without a goal in open play for this Mikel Arteta side. Simply not acceptable. Simply not good enough. We thought that our defence was the problem. Actually, it's become the complete opposite now. Why is that? Well, that's the golden question. Is it the system? Is it the personnel? I think it's a combination. I think it is a combination of things. And it is really worrying me that Mikel is struggling to find the answer to this very big problem that we have at the moment. Get your questions in the live chat. Smash the like button on the video if you haven't already. I'm going to start going through some of your comments now. Looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say on this game. A quick reminder as well that we'll be back tomorrow night at 9 p.m. UK time. I'll be joined by Adrian Clark to try and make sense of what happened at Elland Road and why Arsenal were so blunt in attack, why Arsenal gave up so many opportunities. We'll be discussing all of that, Nicolas Pepe and more. So subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Adrian Clark is joining me tomorrow night live at 9 p.m. Make sure you're here for that one. It'll be a good one as always. Aditya says, I think this season was going to be topsy-turvy, but having a team there, 100% commitment and passion on the pitch, isn't that all we want? And after last season, I don't see this anymore. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Manas says, how comes Bellerin is our main creator? He has been all season, but he still can't throw. Another foul throw for Hector Bellerin. And that just drives you absolutely mad. That at this level, we're talking about professional footballers unable to take a throw in without it being a foul throw. It's nothing short of embarrassing, to be quite frank. Barry Ciccone on the Pepe sending off. He says, if you get sent off for stopping a certain goal, say in a cup final or a big game, I can take it, as much as I'd be upset. I could understand. But to get sent off for them actions, no. Completely agree with you, mate. It's embarrassing, to say the least. To say the very least. What else have we got here? Susan says, is it time for people to put respect on Leno's name? I thought Leno made some really good saves tonight. He did. Credit where it's due. I do think he made some really good saves. JJ says, what do you think about the 4-4-2 formation? Not really sure, if I'm honest. I'm not really sure that we have the players to play that. And this is the kind of problem, like, what formation actually suits our players? I don't know. And this is the conundrum that Mikel has. How does he find the right balance? How does he find the system that gets the most out of these players? We need to get the most out of Aubameyang. We need to get the most out of Partey when he's available. We need to get sort of the most out of our wingers when they play. But the problem is, for me, you know, although Aubameyang's getting a lot of stick as well, the wingers are not producing, whether it be Pepe, Willian, Nelson, whoever it is. They're not producing. Bukayo Saka had a massive opportunity to win the game for us. Ran about the 85th minute. Huge chance. Wonderful ball from Hector Bellerin to get him in behind. Just hesitated, I think, a little bit with the finish. And Ilan Meslier done really, really well. Few of you saying that we should have had the pen. As I've said, I'm not going to sort of go nuts about that, because I can see why it wasn't given. Although there is an argument that we've seen lots of those this season and they have been given, and so we're well within our rights to want one. But that's not the reason we didn't perform today, I don't think. Zane says, Harry will be Arteta out by Christmas. I will be there to welcome him. Look, I mean, obviously, as I said already, that the responsibility of the manager is to get results and to get the maximum out of his group of players. But I still sit here looking at some of those players and think that actually, at times, or a lot of the time, Mikel is setting them up in a way by which they have the defensive structure that they need to go on and win games, but the quality isn't there, the application isn't there. And I'm not excusing Mikel Arteta from the blame, because I think, you know, he is liable for a lot of it, and most of it, given that he's the manager of the football club. But it gets really, really hard to stay sensible and you know, differentiate between the faults of the players, the lack of application by the players, and then the manager's setup. And I didn't think the setup was wrong today. I said it right at the top of the program. We asked for a number 10-ish kind of player, or a number 8, if you want to call him that. It's probably more a number 8 in Joe Willock. Someone that would have that little bit of license to get up and support the forwards. We wanted Pepe to start. We wanted the back four. We wanted Aubameyang through the middle. And we got all of those things today from Mikel Arteta. But unfortunately, the application was wrong. So where do you kind of differentiate between it being the manager's fault and the player's fault? This is kind of the difficult situation we find ourselves in at the moment. Ron Wolf says, whatever formation we play, the players, except for a few, are not good enough for the league or a big team like Arsenal. I think you're right. Rashid says, sometimes I feel there's no chemistry with this team. When we attack, we can't seem to make that key pass, apart from Bellerin's pass to Saka. What else have we got here? Inter Yanan says, Arteta is done. Fan base needs to come to terms with it and stop giving him passes because he won the FA Cup. What else have we got here? Sulak says, Arteta is not suited to these players. His methods will never work at Arsenal. The players we have are more suited to a flair manager like Wenger or Maurizio Pochettino. Zane says, I won't slag off Arteta and abuse him, but he needs to go for the good of the club. Steffi says, why not play Balogun? What have we got to lose? When you look at the way our forwards are playing, there certainly is a shout for that. No doubt about that. See what else you guys are saying. Keep your comments coming. Keep your questions coming. Lung Bergkamp says, why are you ranting now? You were happy a couple of weeks ago. Of course I was happy when Arsenal won at Old Trafford. What Arsenal fan wasn't happy? I think if you weren't happy having won at Old Trafford, then I would question how much of an Arsenal fan you are, to be honest. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Pramod says, Harry, I know how you felt about Emery. I feel the same with Arteta. I'm much closer to tapping out on Arteta. I believe he has lost the dressing room. I don't see a style of play or identity. When we talk about the sort of the dressing room dynamic at Arsenal, and we see that, and I don't want to go back to the Ozil thing again, but we see that Ozil's training with the team every day. He's clearly a popular figure amongst his peers. And we've seen the way that Matteo Guendouzi was ousted out of the club, that Lucas Torreira was moved on, etc., etc. The way that Ainsley Maitland-Niles put in some really, really good performances and now doesn't get a look in. There could be an argument that Mikel has lost sections of the dressing room, that people are starting to question his methods. Maybe not his tactics, but his man management style. That is potentially something that has upset the balance in the dressing room, that has upset some of the players and could be having a negative impact. I wouldn't rule that out, although I can't say that with any degree of certainty. It's just speculating. But, you know, there is an argument that says that. I certainly think that. What else have we got here? Albert, big hello to you, mate. Check out Albert's channel as well. It says, big up Harry. Only 2 shots on target. We were better with 10 men and that isn't a compliment. Agreed. Jack the Ripper says, first time I see Harry this angry. I feel you, brother. I want to make it clear that I'm not really angry about a draw at Leeds. This has been a build-up of really poor, disappointing performances over a period of time that's got me to this point where I'm really frustrated and I'm really starting to wonder how we move forward under this manager, how we move forward with these players. That's why I'm like this tonight, I think. And I like to do another podcast the next day because I like to calm down and look at it a little bit more rationally. But you guys have been asking for these post-match reaction shows, so that's what we're going to be doing going forward, particularly for now while I can't go to the games and I'm at home, so it's easy for me to do them. Obviously, we used to do the short videos from outside the ground. We'll do that when, God willing, fans are allowed back in the stadium. But yeah, I think tomorrow I'll probably look at it with a calmer head. And I've said it already, when you take into consideration we went down to 10, when you take into consideration how well Leeds played, how many attempts they had, the fact that they hit the woodwork three times, you got to take the point. And you got to take the point and you got to be relatively happy with the point, because could have easily lost that game. And that point could prove invaluable come the end of the season. But the point here again is that this is a build-up of frustration that has developed over a number of weeks now, not just based on today's game. Streeper K says, why make excuses for Spanish Pulis but not Emery? I guess you've been following a certain Arsenal fan on Twitter who calls him the Spanish Pulis or the Tapas Pulis or whatever, and that's where you got that from. It's nothing like Tony Pulis. First of all, he's got style, he's got hair, doesn't wear a cap and glasses. I didn't solely blame everything on Unai Emery. I just didn't think he was the right man. And I think the more managers you see unable to get the best out of this group of players, the more you start to look at the players. And so naturally, I'm going to pin a lot more of it on the players now, because this is not the first manager under whom they've not performed. Didn't have anything personal against Unai Emery. I just didn't think he was the right man. And there's nothing stopping me that when I get to the point where I feel the same about Mikel Arteta, I will say that again. Mikel Arteta has got a bit of credit in the bank for me because he did win the FA Cup. People in the chat are saying that he's getting too much credit in the bank for that. Maybe it's too much, but he certainly should have some in the bank because he delivered a trophy. Unai Emery didn't deliver a trophy. Unai Emery took us to a European final and we got absolutely spanked by a London rival. That's what Unai Emery did. Unai Emery bottled a place in the top four because he decided to rest half the team in home games against Crystal Palace and Brighton because he was arrogant and didn't think that in the Premier League it would bite him in the arse, and it did. So I'm not quite at that point with Mikel Arteta yet. But I have been asking questions of him over the last few weeks. And for as long as these dire, poor, toothless, you know, disappointing performances continue, then that's going to continue to be the case. Amaya says, we made a big mistake buying Pepe for £72 million. He hasn't justified his price tag at all. Look at Jota at Liverpool. Seems like a bargain. Agreed. Diogo Jota, what a bargain. He's been fantastic. He was the real driving force for Liverpool tonight in the absence of Mo Salah. He was excellent. Fantastic. £72 million we spent on Nicolas Pepe. And you've got to believe that that's why Raul Sanley lost his job. You've got to believe that. And why he's left the club. Because I'm not sure he's worth £72 million at the moment, if I'm being quite frank and being quite honest. I said it earlier about the sending off. Bitterly disappointed with that. I spoke about a lack of footballing intelligence from Nicolas Pepe. It's pure stupidity. And I'm more pissed off about the fact that he's now going to miss the next three games than I am about the fact that we had to finish off this game with 10 men. Because as I said, whether you like his performances or not, Willian is injured. Saka is now injured. Reece Nelson has proven time and time again he's not up to it. And now Nicolas Pepe's out as well. We're leaving ourselves desperately, desperately short. And it's going to be a problem. And we've got some difficult games coming up. Wolverhampton Wanderers, Tottenham, they're not easy games. In fact, they're very difficult games. Tottenham are flying. The last thing we need is to go and get a good hiding in the North London derby. It's the last bloody thing we need. Let's see what else we've got here in terms of your comments. Just scrolling through some of them now. Gam Sola says Pepe crucified. He deserves it, mate. When you do something as stupid as that, then what do you expect? Lathan Harris says Pepe gets his start and blows it. Exactly. It's completely blown it. And it's not just about the... Again, I go back to the point. It's not just about the performance. But when you do something like that and you show the manager that you cannot be trusted, once that trust is gone, it's very, very hard to earn it back. And let's be quite frank. Let's be quite honest. Nicolas Pepe didn't have Mikel Arteta's trust in the first place going into today's game. If he did, he'd have been playing far more regularly. Mikel Arteta doesn't trust him as it is. And after what's happened today, I'm sure that that is, it has only got worse. You know, one of the positives I do want to pick up on, though, because first of all, there are a couple. The first one being, I think Mikel Arteta is right when he talks about the resilience. We went down to 10 men, and Arsenal in years gone by, down to 10 men in a situation like that would probably have crumbled and ended up losing the game. So credit where it's due there. I know we were quite fortunate in certain instances with Leeds hitting the bar on a number of occasions, etc., missing some really good opportunities. I know we were fortunate in that sense, but we did manage to keep a clean sheet. We did get out of there with a point. And the other positive is actually how pissed off Mikel Arteta looked after the game. How visibly disappointed he was with Nicolas Pepe, with the fact that we were unable to take our opportunities. You look at his face and he's somebody who absolutely hates losing. And you got to hope that that will spur him on. You got to hope that that's his driving force, that that is his motivation, that is that he's got that fire in his belly. You can't deny that he's got that. He's got that. He's been ruthless with some of the decisions he makes. I think some of the decisions have been wrong ones. But the ruthlessness is there. The desire to succeed, I think, is there. So that is a positive to take away from today. I don't really want to end kind of all on negatives. Mostly negatives, obviously, after a disappointing performance like that. But again, as I say, I think, and forgive me if I'm speaking for you guys, but I feel like most of you probably feel the same as me, and that this frustration is from a run of poor performances as opposed to it being because of just today's display. I think it's probably fair to assume that that's how most of you are feeling. Alex McCarthy says, Harry, I thought the aim of football was to get 3 points. Arteta playing defensive with a bad formation and confusing style. It's totally simple. If you don't score, then you're not going to win. Agreed, mate. Agreed. let's see what else we've got here. Raul says, how mediocre is our midfield today? Yeah, they were. They were mediocre. I thought that Danny Ceballos started the game quite well, but it didn't last, did it? That, you know, he pressed really aggressively. And you could see actually from the off that Arsenal were trying to be a bit more aggressive in their press and a little bit more proactive in that and try and prevent Leeds playing out. A lot of the time Leeds got beyond it and that's where their opportunities came from. But, you know, it's no surprise because you watch Arsenal trying to press and you watch Granit Xhaka try and do it. And as much as I think he's a better footballer than Mohamed Elneny, he doesn't have that athleticism to do it, to carry it off. And I think there were times where you were seeing Granit Xhaka pushing right up the pitch, pressing people. He hasn't got the speed. He hasn't got the agility to do that. And he's very easy to play around. And then all of a sudden, he's not back in the position he needs to be to defend. And he's always, you know, chasing back and trying to get back into those key areas and prevent the cutbacks that served Leeds so well in this game. La African Guna says, big up, Harry. If we don't sign an attacking midfielder in January, serious pressure needs to be put on the board. Ozil out of the squad, looking more stupid every week. Yeah, it is looking stupid. And, you know, a friend of mine I was talking to earlier compared it to the situation of Dele Alli at Tottenham, where Dele Alli's been frozen out. Dele Alli's been left out. He's not playing for Tottenham Hotspur at the moment. But whilst the team are winning, whilst the team are scoring goals, nobody, is going to go up to Jose Mourinho and question why he is leaving Dele Alli out. But the minute those results turn south, the minute Tottenham stop scoring goals, then people will start asking that question. It's only natural. So when people get all irate about the fact that we're discussing Mesut Ozil, etc., I don't understand it. It's simple. If the team perform, if the team do what they're supposed to do on the pitch, if they produce the opportunities that they need to produce in order to win games, nobody is talking about him. But they're not. And so the decision to leave him out and to overlook him is looking a more and more silly one with every week that goes by. Alan Damien says, it's absolutely crazy to think that Arteta is to blame. We have a below average squad, zero players to transition and create chances. I don't think we have a below average squad. I think we have a pretty decent squad. Not good enough to challenge for the Premier League title. And, you know, I think we at least have a squad that is capable of finishing in the top six. And at the moment, currently, we're not at that level. So you have to say that we're performing below our level. I don't think that we've got a below average squad. I think there are some really decent footballers in there. Some of them who are not even getting into the starting lineup at the moment, which is disappointing. Billy says, I do think Nelson looked lovely though, and hopefully he can get a run of games and show form. He looked quicker than usual. I didn't think that Nelson looked good. You know, there was a couple of moments where he picked up the ball and he turned, but he was kind of turning around in a circle going nowhere. There was one where he turned the player, carried the ball forward, and you thought, good, go on, drive, take the ball, carry it. And then he turned back and passed it back 10 yards to Granit Xhaka, and I thought, what was the point in that? His deliveries from set pieces were horrendous. How he was allowed to take another one after that first one, I do not know. Rahil says, Harry, I'm struggling to see what's wrong with our club. Is it the players? Is it the manager? Is it the owners or the board or a combination of all? I think it's a combination of everything. I think the players are not performing at the moment. I think that they're not maybe 100% on board with what Mikel's doing. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe they don't agree with it. Maybe they're just not able to implement it. I don't know. In terms of the owners and the board, well, it kind of stems from the owners, because if the owners are absent and not putting pressure on people and not driving high performance, then naturally people are going to slack. And so, yeah, I think, Rahil, in answer to your question, I think all of them are responsible in some way. Let's see what else we've got here. Alan Damien also says, we need creativity to make it above average. Talking about the squad. And yes, bring in Ozil back, because he cannot be worse than everybody else. That's exactly the point, isn't it? That's exactly the point. He can't be worse than some of the rest of them. Kevy Kev says, Harry, what's your view on Saliba? Are the likes of Mustafi and Holding really better options? I don't know, because I haven't seen enough of Saliba at any point to know whether he's good enough. Like, what have we seen? A couple of friendlies in the summer. That's it. How can we judge him based on that? We can't. And this is the problem. And this is why, to a degree, when it comes to William Saliba, we have to just trust Mikel Arteta's judgment on this. And I know some people won't be happy to do that, but I can't sit here with any degree of confidence and say he's definitely good enough to be in the squad. He's definitely good enough to start games. Because, as I say, the sample size of what we've seen from Saliba since he came to Arsenal is so small. I think it's impossible to make that decision or that assessment without watching him in training every day. Right. Let's see what else we've got here from you guys. Xander, we brought in a set piece coach and our set piece deliveries have been awful. Agreed. Tom says, Will and Awar like signing change how we play, as he was Arteta's main target and we struggled to carry the ball forward at all times. It's a hard one, isn't it? Because we ended up paying £45 million for Thomas Partey. Are you telling me that if we offered £45 million for Houssem Awar in one go, the way we did for Partey, because it was a release clause, we had to pay it all in one go, that Lyon wouldn't have taken that on deadline day? I think they probably would have, to be honest. So I don't know if he was necessarily 100% the priority target. Will he change the way we play? You'd like to hope so. Fingers crossed. But can you say that again with any degree of certainty? No, I can't, because I don't watch Houssem Aouar every week. I don't know where he would fit into this system. I don't know how it would change, you know, how it would change us, what it would mean, what it would add. It's just kind of speculating at the moment. I'd love to see him come in, because I think he's a good player from the little I have seen, and I think we're crying out for that type of player. But if Arteta still doesn't want to play in a certain way, then that's not going to change anything, I don't think. Andrew S says, Harry, you say we have a good squad. How many of our players would start for Chelsea or United? I said we have a squad that's capable of finishing in the top six, and I stand by that. If you're talking about Chelsea, who have aspirations of winning the title this season, then I think, you know, well, they've got a different level. So I wouldn't say many of our players, if any, would get into their side, but they're punching at a different weight than us this season. Chelsea are going for the title. We're trying to get in the Champions League. It's a different level. United, I think United have got loads of bang average players. I think Kieran Tierney would play at left back. I think Bern Leno would go in goal. I think that Gabriel is better than Lindelof. I think that Aubameyang is better than Martial. I think that Thomas Partey is better than anything they've got in the centre of midfield. So I do think there's Arsenal players that will get into the United side. And United are around about the same level as us. They're nowhere near where they need to be. Chelsea have been in fine form. Chelsea are title contenders in the eyes of many. So to compare us to Chelsea, I think is wrong. We're not at that level. Not at that level yet. Dan Price says, Harry, would you consider a new signing for up top? Seems we are crying out for a Giroud in these games just to give us a different outlet. I completely agree, Dan. I said it a couple of weeks ago. This Mikel Arteta side needs a striker who, when he gets the ball, can hold it up, who offers a target in the middle, because whenever we do create anything, whenever we do get joy against opponents, it tends to be in the wide areas. And if you're trying to put balls in the box for Aubameyang to win, or for Lacazette to win, or for Nketiah to win, you're not going to get any joy like that. None at all. None at all. Lanzini says, yeah, you'd better ignore my comment. I didn't even see it, mate. Let me have a look and see if I can pick it out. Got so many coming through live. I've missed some of them. Let's see. All right, let's see what you got to say. You don't know much about football, my friend. Okay. Is this the first red card you've seen in your life? You don't know Arteta's state of mind. Shut up, man. Just shut up. If you don't like it, mate, you don't have to watch it. You're the one sitting at home on a Sunday night watching me talk about football. So if I don't know anything, and I was you, probably log off and do something else. About I better ignore your comment. Jesus Christ. Let's see what else we've got here. Jovan says, the issue is we don't have a solidified attack with a balance. Been saying it for years. When is the last time we've had a left winger, striker and right winger play consistently together week in, week out? Zero cohesion. It's a great point, and it's a point that we discussed a few weeks ago about the fact that we didn't have a consistent front three, and that was probably causing a bit of a problem. Let's see what else. Chetan says, what's the ambition of the club? It's got to be to get in the Champions League. It has to be. It has to be to get in the Champions League. And we may not be able to do that this season. And I was pretty realistic about that at the start of the campaign, that if we got closer to it this season, that would be a sign of progress. But at this moment, on our current trajectory, we don't even look like we're getting closer. And that's the worry. And look, the season is young. You know, we've been to Leeds, who, you know, are a very good side on their day. We've been to Manchester United. We've been to Liverpool. We've been to Manchester City. Those games are out of the way now. And not until you've played everyone, or a little bit later on in the campaign, does the table actually start to even out, actually start to take shape. So I'm not stressing at the moment, because I still feel like we're capable of it. I still feel like the teams around us aren't very good as well. They're not without their issues too. So it's not gone. It's not something that we cannot achieve. It's not something that's impossible to achieve. But things need to improve quickly. And with each passing week, when we're not seeing that improvement, of course we get a little bit more nervous about it. Of course we get a little bit stressed about it, a little bit angry about it, and a little bit frustrated about it. But, you know, it is what it is. We move forward, and you know, I am frustrated tonight. I'll probably be a lot calmer tomorrow. And a quick reminder, we are bringing you another podcast tomorrow. Tomorrow night, we're going to be coming at you with a show with Adrian Clark, whereby we will be Dissecting this game, getting his thoughts on everything Arsenal. Of course, former Arsenal man, currently does the breakdown on Arsenal.com. I'm sure you guys have seen him. He's fantastic. So, yeah, we'll be doing that tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Come and join me and Adrian for that. Should be great fun, even if we're not discussing a win. But it's always great to hear Adrian's insights. So check that out. 9 p.m. tomorrow night, UK time, that is. We'll be live and we'll be bringing you a new show first thing tomorrow morning. I told you that the partnership with 90 Min was going to bring you more content, was going to bring you more shows, and we're going to be bringing you a morning show, which we're going to call Hot Off the Press, and we're going to be having a look at some of the headlines briefly involving Arsenal from the various media outlets. So basically, you'll be able to get all your headlines, all your Arsenal stories in one place rather than searching around 100 different outlets. We'll be bringing those together for you every morning with a cup of coffee, and we'll be discussing some of those as well briefly. So look forward to seeing some of you bright and early tomorrow morning as well. Something to cheer you up on a Monday, because it's never an easy day. Right, that brings us to the end of this edition of the post-match show. Thank you to every single one of you who's joined us. Thank you in particular to Chetan. He says he loves the in-depth analysis. Not an Arsenal fan, but I follow your analysis from the 90 Min shows. Thank you so much, mate. Welcome to the channel as well. Don't forget, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, smash the like button on the video. I'm not sure how many there are at the moment, but let's get that up. There's over 200 of you tuned in at the moment. Let's get that up to at least 100 likes. So if you haven't, please, please do smash that like button. Very much appreciated. I'm going to go and watch Match of the Day and wind myself up even further. Thank you, guys. And we'll be back very, very soon with more. Until then, take care. All the best.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.